As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Be the best and you got to pay a little price. If you want it bad enough, you got to do a little extra things to get it.
Welcome to the 11 Personnel Podcast, your favorite Rams podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Rodriguez, and with me, as always, well, it's actually just me. I am en route, in transit, to and from Denver, Colorado. The Rams had joint practices there this week. Really strong day for the Rams, I think, on both days. Denver's defense did bring more energy the second day, got their pass rush popping a little bit more, but Matthew Stafford looked extremely sharp. The Rams running backs, Cam Akers, Kyren Williams, had their best week of practice to date, in my opinion, especially starting to see some of the multiplicity of what they're going to be trying to do in the run game start to take shape. Obviously, these joint practices are a Sean McVay safe space to work on those things. Those are not things you're going to see in the preseason games at all, because he literally directs his coordinators, don't show anything that we haven't already put on tape as they get ready to game plan and call these games. So pretty exciting to watch these things start to take shape. I think obviously it's very important to temper expectations about the Los Angeles Rams in 2023. But in terms of the offense specifically, I just thought they had an outstanding week of practice for the most part. It was a really important week, especially following up joint sessions with the Raiders 2 weeks ago. Really, really important to have this kind of a week and to get everyone, as many people as possible, obviously with a few notable exceptions, which we'll get to in a minute, on the field. Cooper Kupp came back on Monday. Some of the national spots are reporting that he came back Wednesday. Actually, his first full practice back was Monday, and it was a pretty intense practice, as I reported over on theathletic.com on that Monday, intra-squad. So, you know, Rams versus Rams, and then carried that over into Wednesday, where he had another full workload. And then Thursday was a little bit pulled back from a full workload just out of precaution. They're sort of tapering him like a normal week as he gets ready for the opener. And he says he's on track. And I mean, it certainly looked that way. You guys go check out my my coverage over at theathletic.com, where there's this like one play, this outbreaking route to Matthew Stafford's blind side. That it's just, it bends space and time, and it's totally that clarity of connection between the two that they established so well in 2021. And it's kind of that reminder, like, I didn't go anywhere kind of a thing between Cooper and Matthew, which is neat to see those two. Guys, thanks for your patience. This episode was supposed to be out yesterday. I'm recording on a Friday morning. I am solo, and you guys don't need the details of my work-life balance, except for the fact that it's non-existent, but, I'm doing my best to try to get you guys as much Rams content on a variety of multimedia, and work on advanced projects that I think you guys are going to be really excited about, and had a couple of really interesting and neat interviews come up late yesterday. So didn't get a chance to record this yesterday, but I have been filing away your questions. So technically I'm not solo today. I have you guys, right? I have you guys' questions, and I'm going to do my best to answer some of these. I would say, like, there's a caveat here. you know, 4 days away from roster cuts on Tuesday. And the Rams' last preseason game is going to be Saturday, late afternoon, early evening. And so, caveat here, things could change. I'm going to try to do my best to give you the most nuance that I can on some of these topics that you guys always ask such fantastic questions. And I'm really appreciative of that. But things change. And as we know, on a Sean McVay-led team, things can change really fast too. So I'm going to do my best here. And you guys certainly brought it with your questions. So I'm going to go fast on some of them, and some of them will take a little bit more time, but I'm going to try to get to as many as I can within the next 30 to 40 minutes or so. If you're one of those people who, like myself, hate the sound of my voice, this is probably not the episode for you because, again, I'm trying to hold it down solo today, but I will do my best to not sound as annoying as I think I personally sound. And you can always fast forward me if you want. So I'm going to start with Tom and Callie on Twitter. So first I'm going to get to some of these questions on Twitter, or whatever it is called these days. I'm trying to get more of my full content integrated over into our live blog. And you guys' feedback also has been so, so awesome on our Athletic live blog, because that helps us get better and directly serve our subscribers better. When I can take feedback from you directly over to the people who run that live blog and who program it. So thank you so much for that last week and into this week. And you are being heard, I promise. And I hope that we can continue to make this the best possible experience for you. And you guys aren't alone. There's people across all verticals and all sports that have the same type of feedback that you do. So that's super appreciative. But I'm going to start with Twitter here for questions, and I'm going to go over to Instagram there. Okay, Tom and Callie at Ramsbeat. He says, the mystery surrounding NoteBoom's latest setback is reminiscent of the mystery surrounding Akers this time last season. Can you verify it is in fact a new injury, or if not, please offer your best guess as to what's really going on and why they're being so vague? Thanks. No, Tom, thank you. okay, so I've talked to multiple people in the organization who I trust, and also I've watched Joe NoteBoom every single day for the last several weeks, including the last 2 weeks where he's been dealing with this non-specified injury that Sean McVay has declined to disclose. I've pressed him on this. If you guys watch the press conferences, you know that. And I can't make people tell me something they don't want to tell me, but I can try. My understanding after talking to those people and also, you know, watching Joe work with the medical staff, very specific types of workouts that I'm not gonna, you know, can't report the specificity based on the credential parameters of that. But he is dealing with an injury, and that's to the best of my knowledge, based on multiple people I trust talking to me about that, and then also watching him. Now, I also believe it's not related to the Achilles tear, but I think part of the frustration that you've very audibly heard from Sean McVay over the last week, especially about this topic, is because this was supposed to be the week where everyone got into the spot that he wants them in. Now, whether or not that's the best spot for everybody remains to be seen, but I definitely got the sense that he really wanted at least a good week of not only that high tempo intra-squad stuff that they did on Monday, but also Wednesday and Thursday against a really like solid Broncos defense and pass rush. Like, wanted Alaric Jackson at left tackle, wanted Steve Avila at left guard, wanted Coleman Shelton at center, wanted Joe NoteBoom playing right guard, wanted Rob Havenstein at right tackle. Well, Rob Havenstein's dealing with the neck stinger, and Joe NoteBoom's dealing with this unspecified injury. And so you can't have those guys together. Oh, and by the way, they're also flip-flopping Logan Bress back to try to train him at swing tackle. So he's playing left and right tackle. So you've got like Zach Thomas coming in and playing right tackle with the first team on Thursday, which that's the first that I'd seen that. So basically, I think that's genuinely and most simply put, you're not frustrated at the player because it's not his fault he's injured. And I think it would be unfair to be frustrated at the player, but it doesn't sound like anybody is. It just sounds like the situation is just this was the time. It's 2 weeks before the opener. This was the time where everyone had to be playing as five. And that's, personally speaking, by the way, that's not to remove anything from what Tremaine Ankrum has done. That guy has manned the right guard spot the entirety of this last month. And there is a sense that Sean McVay wants to put Joe Noteboom at right guard. Joe Noteboom, obviously, you guys know, I've been going over this over and over and over again. Joe Noteboom started training camp rotating in competition with Alaric Jackson at left tackle. Like 3 days left in camp, he starts rotating with Tremaine Ankrum at right guard, no longer rotating with Alaric Jackson at left tackle, which indicates to me that Alaric Jackson is going to be the left tackle and that then now a new competition has opened up at right guard. Well, multiple things can be true here in which we don't know. It may be that Joe Noteboom, as a part of the other four that I said, is their best five. It's a position he has not played very much of. He has also not repped very much at it because they moved him over to try so late in camp, where he was supposed to be competing for that left tackle spot previously. And so, you know, that's where I get into a little bit of the issues with what I've had, and I wrote a column about this week. It's not just this right guard spot. It's not just the situation. It's the broader organizational issue that I think is they have to learn from, because, you know, you see it when they're signing guys with known injury histories to contract extensions, you know, even with their potential replacements already on their roster, understanding fully that those guys do have injury issues, but still signing those deals. And then the sort of lack of cohesive identity and personality along that entire group, minus a Rob Havenstein, obviously, but post Andrew Whitworth, sort of just like trying to figure out who they want to be. And it's not just one thing, one person, one coach. It's organizationally wide. That's what my column is about. I hope you guys go read it at theathletic.com. But Tom, like I said, some of these questions, we're going to go fast, some we're going to go slow. But Tom, I don't, I understand that, like, this kind of, like, I've sort of seen this be like a popular topic on social media. I don't get any sense that it's anything, like, the Cam Akers situation was very unique and layered and nuanced. This one, I think, is simple. They're going to try to plug him back in when he's not hurt anymore. And they have to figure out short-term and long-term identity along that entire offensive line. Whereas the Cam Akers situation was really complicated. It involved the position coach. It involved, dramatic miscommunications and people not talking to each other in the productive ways that they should have been way earlier. It involved impulsive hiring decisions, all of those types of things that compounded there. This is not that. This is a player who was supposed to be practicing this week and is not, due to what multiple people have said is an injury situation, not related to the Achilles. And when you're hearing the frustration, I do think it's simple. It's, you know, the understanding that they did put themselves in this position where they're trying to figure out a place for their $40 million offensive lineman. But also that, and it's out of the position they signed him to play, but it's also that they don't know how good he can be at this spot until he actually plays there. And they need all of these guys to play together against actual competition in order to know what they have this season, in order to start building that identity that, you know, I don't just write a column like that because I felt like it. It's weeks and weeks and weeks of gathering on this angst that it's like, get an identity figured out. And it's like, it's not for lack of trying. It's just previous potentially erroneous decisions have sort of now tripped them up in the present tense when they were made in the past, and learning from those ripple effects so that you don't make those decisions again. So great question, Tom. I know that's a lot of people's question. Thank you for everyone who asked about that. And thank you for everyone who has been following along with my coverage and reading about this at theathletic.com.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep. You heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Okay, so another question that I know a lot of people have had that I'll do my best on, and again, things could change, but I know this is top of mind for a lot of people right now, but at RotoSurgeon, also shout out, he is very nice on Twitter. Will the Rams pursue Jonathan Taylor after reportedly making offers on CMC last year? So it's a relevant question. It's a great question that I know a lot of people have, and it's a super buzzy topic right now. I will say that those two clauses in that sentence, they should exist separately, not together, because when the Rams made that bid for Christian McCaffrey last year, they thought they were still in a different place of their team build than what they were actually in, and that brutal reality sort of started to hit them as time passed after the trade deadline where – okay, now you've got to pivot. You've been priced out of the markets that you helped to create. Like, you've now got to pivot into what comes next. And also, you know, you kind of work through some serious stuff with the head coach and the assistants and overhaul the staff and figure out what kind of a rebuild. And yes, I will use that word because it's happening on at least one side of the ball. Like, what kind of a rebuild do you want to do and are able to do and it's feasible? So all of that sort of starts settling in with this group after trying and failing to trade for Brian Burns, after inquiring about other pass rushers and not really getting the response they wanted, after trying and failing to trade for Christian McCaffrey, that sort of that brutal reality where it's not just where your current roster was, it's where you've been priced out of the market that you've helped to create. And that was sort of a wake-up call for them, I think, fully, that entire like week ahead of the trade deadline, whether it was Christian McCaffrey or other players. So I don't think you can put the two together anymore because they're in a different place. They're not going to be making offers like that for specifically not for a position like such as running back, but also in the current state of their team build, they're just not going to be making trade offers of that magnitude. That being said, like, you know, I've said this a lot and I'll say it again and maybe I'll tattoo it on my forehead, but when a good player becomes available at any point in any stage of team build, in any stage of remodel or contention or everything in between, the Rams are going to do their due diligence on that player. They're going to ask questions. They're going to make phone calls. It doesn't mean that they're interested. There's a difference between could this actually happen and what would it take to make this happen? There's a huge, huge, huge difference when you're inside a building between those two things. And so I have no doubt they've inquired about Jonathan Taylor. I mean, I would put money on it, honestly, if I were, I don't bet, but if I did, I would bet that they would at least ask, you know, what is the situation? Tell us everything. What do we need to know? Is it true that you're asking for that? Those terms for potential trade. The reported terms that are out there right now in terms of what, you know, what the Colts would want for Jonathan Taylor, that's just not something the Rams are going to do. And then also, like, it comes in tandem with they're also not going to trade for a player who needs an extension at the end of this year. So, like, if all of those things dramatically changed at one time, like, both at the same time, like, A, those terms aren't so high. Maybe it's a third round pick or a fourth round pick instead of what's being asked right now. And then also in tandem, the player no longer requires a contract extension or even the promise of a contract extension a la Jalen Ramsey a couple years ago. Like if those things dramatically change, then Yeah, I would think that the Rams would more closely track the situation and would more closely think about it because, you know, they're just always going to. And that's why you see their names getting thrown into the mix on so many of the chatter around, like, name a player, you know, any player who is very good or elite at any position, you're going to see their names thrown into the mix. Even if other teams across the league are doing the exact same thing, which is just asking questions, you're going to see the Rams name thrown into the mix because of their history. It helps with driving up the price of things. If you have a team with a history of being competitive, sometimes maybe a little bit too much so in trades, kind of getting thrown in there, and you have you know, evidence that they've at least just asked questions about the situation. So that's kind of a wait and see for me. I mean, it's also true at the same time that, like I said, I talking to people around the organization, like, could not be more impressed with Cam Akers and Kyren Williams and how, especially these last 2 weeks, I mean, I'm excited for you guys to see some of the stuff. If they can execute it the way that it looks right now, I'm excited for you guys to see some of the things that they're doing in the run game. Obviously cannot report scheme based on the parameters of my credential. But it's just, there's like an edge there. There's teeth in ways that I think they really needed. And that's why, again, I don't just write the column just because I feel like it. Like, they need that to also work in tandem with an established identity on their offensive line. That's part of the reason why it's so important to have those guys all playing together at the same time. So back to that previous point, like, you know, I never say never with this team. The terms would probably, I would guess, this is not like deep reporting from me. This is just logic. I would think that the terms would have to change dramatically for them to legitimately be interested in this. My reporting and my sense of the situation is that they, you know, all it is so far, like, every other player that's ever been available in this era of the Rams at a certain caliber, which is you ask questions about what the situation is, and every team in the league, if they're smart, is also doing that. So, again, like, take certain things this early on in the process, maybe with a grain of salt, but yeah, I also, same thing, you know, it can also be true that, like, they really are impressed with how their running backs have started putting it together and how they've developed, and especially how things are starting to click and flow. And you have to understand too, it's like, you know, if they were to make a trade for Jonathan Taylor, it would be about a $4 million salary this year, and you're not planning on extending him, and you're also, like, sort of rebuilding. And so maybe this is a trade, or not necessarily for this player, but maybe you're not really thinking about trades at all right now, unless they're, like, again, the terms dramatically change. Maybe you're thinking, hey, what if in October we're actually better than we seem like we'll be? And maybe then you start talking about trades. So, you know, I'm just sort of pulling at threads here and putting pieces of logic together, but that's kind of what I would say right now. And again, his deadline's Tuesday. So we'll see if things dramatically change by Tuesday. Now, if he wants to get out of Indianapolis as badly as it seems like he does, who's to say that the terms don't change? If the Colts don't think that he's going to be playing for them this year, you know, you probably have to try to figure out how to make the most of that situation. But it's also tough because, you know, he's going to have to play at least a little somewhere this year in order to qualify to get the amount of weeks required or the amount of games required on this year's contract year in order to qualify to be a free agent. So it's kind of like, I don't know, it's a tough situation looking at it from afar. All I can tell you is from the Rams' perspective, kind of those logic points that I think, you know, it kind of just see how it goes, but to me, it seems unlikely, but that could change because, again, you never say never with a team like this. Matthew Ploden says, Jordan, do you think Davis Allen will get some fairly good playtime once regular season kicks in? Yeah, I'll go quick with this one. I think he absolutely could. He's looked outstanding. He's already working, like, pretty heavily with the second team as basically the number three tight end on this roster right now. it's understandable that he's a number three tight end on this roster right now because Tyler Higbee has had an outstanding camp and Bryson Hopkins has had an outstanding camp. And Davis Allen basically started practicing a week and a half ago, but has looked really, really good. And also is like kind of talking to some of the coaches, he's kind of gnarly. Like he really likes to stick his face in there and like block. And he told me this really great thing that his dad always used to tell him about yards after catch plays where, if someone's trying to bring you down, at least take multiple people down with you. Don't just get brought down by one person. You kind of saw that on display. I'm looking forward to seeing how he plays against the Broncos as well. But yeah, I think you can, because Hunter Long is still hurt, and who knows whether he'll start the season on PUP or not with that groin injury. But Davis Allen has looked outstanding. And I think that's great for the Rams, who have lacked tight end depth for quite some time, and especially with both Tyler and Bryson in contract years. It's fantastic to see him emerge the way that he has. And I think as long as he can handle the workload of playing time, I think they'll try to find ways to get him involved. Let's see. Dennis, and I'm sorry if I mispronounce this, but Dennis Duoli, he said, "What are we doing at DL Edge? This can't be it. Obviously, Donald will be dominant, but the lack of pressure elsewhere is pretty evident." From Stockholm, Sweden. Signed, Dennis. Thanks, Dennis. Yeah, so I cannot see a world. I mean, like, guys, I don't make the decisions, so this could happen. But, like, I cannot possibly see a world where they go into the season with this lineup. Understanding, especially, you know, this is a team that is trying to win games, right? And didn't completely gut both sides of the ball because it was clearly going to try to at least be competitive and win some games. But they're so light up front. I mean, it's concerningly evident over the last couple preseason games where normally you wouldn't put a lot of stock in the preseason, but these are players who are going to be starting alongside Aaron Donald. That being said, I think they've got someone really potentially special in Byron Young. Kobe Turner has really put it together over the last couple of weeks, especially. He was really getting some good pressure on Russell Wilson and forcing some throws in practice Thursday. But this is a glaring concern. It's an obvious concern. And they need some size. They need like someone, you know, all the other guys on the interior, you guys play gap and a half. Let's just get a big dude to just sit down in a couple gaps right there at the nose, right? And let everyone else just orbit around him, right? Just like occupy space. Like, you don't need to be crazy athletic. You don't need to be doing all the other things. These guys just take up some space, man. Like that's what they need. Stuff some gaps so that you can't run through them, you know? Like that's just what they need on the interior. You know, they're going to be watching the cut downs like pretty closely at this position. The problem when you get to pass rusher, and I think having someone who does take up more space in the middle will help them with their pass rush, by the way, because you don't have a math advantage on the offensive line anymore in that case, along with like chipping players and protection and stuff like that. So I think they're going to be looking for sure on the interior defensive line. Where it gets tougher is everybody wants a really good veteran edge who is released from a team or still on the market, who's cheap. Like every team is looking at that. So what does help is the Rams spot on waivers. But at the same time, it's, that's going to be tough. I will say saw some really good things this last week from Michael Hoyt, who's still putting it together. And Byron Young looks outstanding. I think he's just going to continue to have an upward trajectory. And you really need guys like Nick Hampton to start to come along. I mean, there's a lot of speed there, but there's not a lot of power. And you kind of need both. But I do think that having Aaron back, he's going to obviously occupy attention. And then also having potentially an addition there, we'll see if they can find a guy. That's John McKay, who's directing their pro scouting. He's going to probably take the lead on that. We'll see if they can find someone. It's absolutely important. I think that they do. I think that's one of the most important spots to find a plug-and-play veteran, especially of a certain size on that interior, because it's just not been good. And if teams can run all over them, I mean, the Rams want the ball back in their offense's hands as much as possible this year because they're just going to, you know, shoot a bunch of threes and try to outscore people, it seems like. But if they can't get the ball back in Matthew Stafford's hands because other teams are just running every single time, I mean, if you listen to play callers, listen to Kyle Shanahan in his very slightly like unhinged way saying like, I'm going to run it at you until I don't have to anymore. Every team will do that to the Rams. They'll go ball control against them the same way that they did with their quick game, the quick passing game last year. They'll go ball control on the run every single time against them if they can and completely gas them out and play keep away from the offense. And so you need to be able to stop the run and you need to have a guy or multiple players who not only are coming along with the technique, because the gap and a half, you don't have to be super huge to play that well, but you have to be really technically sound with your hands and your awareness of space and leverage. But it would really help to have someone of some size. And that was also Flippers Anderson, great name, by the way, at DC Film Ninja. That was also your question. Let's see. JJ from NJ has a roster math question. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but basically he's asking about the math of receivers, tight ends. So I'm going to have a roster, 53-man roster prediction coming out after the last preseason game. And I'm still kind of workshopping it. So it might, this comment might be dated by the time you actually read that. I hope you read it. Subscribe to The Athletic. Get a great discount. Some days I see them carrying seven receivers. Some days I see them carrying only six, which I know it sounds crazy, but Hunter Long and whether or not he's going to be able to be on the active roster. I mean, if you know, he or not, like through the actual start to the season, will kind of hinge on that, but for sure can see them keeping, you know, at least the three tight ends. If Hunter Long, I mean, you probably are looking at six receivers that you know for sure. Five receivers that I think you know for sure will make the roster, which is Cooper Kupp, Van Jefferson, Tutu Atwell, Puka Nacua. Let's see, that's four. I'd say Ben Skoranek because he could do a lot of things on special teams, although his role in the offense has definitely diminished through this training camp and had some injury issues as well. But definitely that guy, that glue guy on special teams that you really want around. And then I think there's sort of a competition between DeMarcus Robinson and Tyler Johnson. Both of them have been really solid. DeMarcus started camp better than most receivers, including Tyler. Like he had an outstanding start to camp. But over the last 2 weeks, Tyler Johnson has sort of emerged. So it's going to be interesting to see how they weigh those two and how, like, I think that DeMarcus, the way he has that blend of, like, long speed and he's a little bit of a mismatch player, he can play the X. I think that helps you in the case of Van Jefferson, who has had some injury issues, who also plays the X. And I think DeMarcus can kind of be insurance in that regard. So maybe that factors into your numbers. But a lot of this really does hinge. I asked Sean McVay this last week if Hunter Long is going to be, you know, kind of shut down, at least for the start of the year. And he says he doesn't know yet. So, you know, you got like a couple days to figure it out and he hasn't practiced yet through the entirety of training camp. So, this is the player who, you know, obviously you never blame players for injuries, but this is the player who the Rams, acquired via that Jalen Ramsey trade. So, you definitely want to see him on the field and see what he's got. Now, it kind of does, there's that he's a little bit of a hinge player depending on what they do and what they decide to do. And also like some of the moves that you end up making, sometimes players have to be on the active roster in the initial cut down anyway, but then after that, some maneuvering happens as well. So that initial 53 sometimes is not what it looks like by week two. So, okay. I love this question. This is from Wes at, Slayson 80. Sorry if I'm butchering these guys, these names, guys. What is your honest opinion on Stafford this offseason? Does he look like his normal pre-22 self, or is there a decline in abilities? Wes, I am so glad you asked this question because I will tell you he looks better than he did when he first got here. And I say that like I've been, again, monitoring this extremely closely because you just never know with a quarterback of his age and injury history how things are going to go. And you obviously you're like every single time he moves his elbow, you're sort of like laser focused on it. Matthew Stafford looks better than certainly I have ever seen in my time with him being in the building, because even in 2021, he was still learning the offense. They were building it as they went. They were doing a lot of like troubleshooting as they went. It didn't always look smooth. And he also hurt his thumb. So it wasn't even a full off. It wasn't even a full like off season or onboarding period for him, because he banged his thumb on a helmet in training camp, missed a few days. So as good as that Stafford turned out to be, you know, minus some issues there in November or October, November, this dude's better. It's really striking. And it's funny, you see all these lists and these charts and all this stuff come out this time of year, and people who don't come to practice form opinions and all kinds of stuff. And like, I heard Kelly Stafford kind of talking about this on her podcast the other day. I was like, Kelly, here's what you do. Send an open invitation to everybody who you're disappointed with for kind of overlooking Matthew Stafford. Send him an open invite to practice. I guarantee you, you see this dude practice for 1 or 2 days and you're like, holy shit. I mean, I'm texting people every single day within the organization about this. I'm like, this dude looks like he's ready for the season to start yesterday. He is, I think he's in better shape. He certainly looks like he's in better shape. He looks like he can move better. I have to think that was intentional, because that's how the game is changing, and he is very smart and he knows that. I'm not saying he's a dual threat quarterback by any means, but he definitely looks like he can move better, like his feet are better. Arm is there. I mean, there is no limitation with the arm. Again, we'll see through the course of a full season. No limitation with the arm. And he's got that sort of like edge back. Remember that Tampa Bay game where we sort of coined the term darkly chaotic Matthew Stafford? Well, that's him every day now. And so I think, you know, I think that this is, it's just been, I got to tell you guys, like, I'm a fan of football, and like, this has just been fun to watch, frankly, because he is reminding people on a daily basis that he is an elite quarterback who still can throw it around and still can do the things that make him very dangerous and hard to game plan for, even though he is not, I would say, like a modern quarterback who you're going to plan for in the run game or anything like that. The arm angles are there, the no looks. It's just been, it's been very, very fun to watch. And if he can stay healthy, and if they, and caveat, if they can keep him upright, I really think he's going to have a special year. You know, people in Denver on that staff said the same thing. People in Vegas on that staff told me the same thing. I mean, every time they've seen legitimate competition outside their own building, and seen him play, like, it's just been, they've been, other people, even on opposing teams, have been excited about what he's been able to do. So I think that that's, I think that that's, again, a lot of things have to work that he has no control over, inclusive to the offensive line here. And I think having a better run game will help him too. But in a vacuum, he looks outstanding and certainly better than he has since I've seen him, including ahead of that 2021 season where, again, now he's got experience and he knows this language, and it's like a second language to him and a first language, as opposed to sort of learning and building it as he went that first year. So, okay. Lots of Matthew Stafford questions. Ooh, I like this one from Landau at LD_Rams. Who will be the next superstar in LA no one talks about at the moment? Well, one thing about Rams fans that's really cool is you guys are super engaged and attentive to every position, even at depth on the roster. So when I say this, it probably will not surprise Rams fans at all, but I think Trey Tomlinson is going to be a very, very good football player. He, you know, Kobe Durant, I think, is that leader in terms of the cornerbacks room right now, but the more playing time Trey Tomlinson gets, and we'll see how much he gets this year because Darren Kendrick is back and they're still trying to see what, you know, the range of his development is, and you know, when he was out, Trey Tomlinson was sort of taking over that spot and had even edged Robert Rochelle, by the way, in that regard. And so we'll kind of see how that all works out. He might not get as much playing time this year early on, but as he continues to emerge, I just think he's just got that it factor that I think really that sort of superstar quotient that people look for, especially in this town. And I think that fans also kind of love that it's like, he's not an underdog because he is very, very talented, but it's sort of that mentality because people did overlook him because of his size. So I do think that that's something that people will be drawn to, especially when the more they watch him play, because he does not play like he's a generously listed 5'9". Also, I'm 5'9", or I'm 5'8", about, and we are not the same height. So I could not be more impressed with what Trey Tomlinson has done this spring. I think he's someone that definitely is going to be fun for people to watch. Also, like, O-linemen don't usually get this billing, but Steve Avila is special. I think he is one of those players where if he continues, it's a big if. You don't want to crown anybody before they've even played a game, but like, he's someone who has that potential to be a franchise guy. And I've been really impressed with him as well.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Cornell, great question at GQ Scholar. Have you seen LaFleur's influence on the offense in practices and scrimmages? Yes. Yes, I have. Due to the parameter, I'm going to read the fine print of my media credential. Due to the parameters of my credential that gives me access to practice and to players and coaches, I am not able to tell you exactly how I've seen this influence. But Cornell, you always have great, great comments on Twitter, and I am absolutely 100% certain that you will know what I mean by this. Yes, I have seen Mike LaFleur's influence on the run game. Certainly. Let's see. Biggest question mark on defense. I do think it's the run game. This is from Disco Santa. Great name there, Disco Santa. Biggest question mark on defense, I think it's the run defense, frankly, because I actually have been pretty impressed. It's going to be bumpy, guys, like caveat here. It's going to be really bumpy sometimes, but I've been impressed with the steps forward the secondary has taken. It's a really young and inexperienced group. I'm going to have a story coming out on this on Monday that if you are someone who likes the way the Rams play defense, or if you are someone who dislikes the way the Rams play defense, either way, I think you'll like this story, but that's coming out Monday. But I've been impressed with the steps forward that they've taken in terms of their defensive backs unit. And so I still think it's that interior defensive line. And also, like, on perimeter runs, the outside linebackers, how that entire group on that along that defensive front is going to defend the run this year. I think that that's just going to be, like, absolutely crucial to the defense overall playing the style of football they really want to play. And honestly, I don't, like, just to reiterate, I really don't think that this is going to be a passive situation in terms of the Rams looking for maybe some help to add there. It kind of goes back to when you do make a decision like that, where you have a glaring need somewhere, checks and balances have to happen. So if you're looking at the roster and there's certain contract outliers elsewhere, but then also you factor in positional value and contribution and all of those types of things all at the same time, you're probably looking for as cheap a veteran who could also contribute as possible. But even that money, some of the checks and balances will start elsewhere. Jason A. Vasquez says, why can't we get a decent hot dog at SoFi? Jason, I will pass that along. I don't know. I don't think I've ever eaten at SoFi, but we have people. I'm usually there about 6 hours, four to six hours early. And we have a, like there's a media meal, sort of a pick, like a buffet spread up in the press box. So I don't think I've ever eaten at SoFi before, but I will absolutely pass that feedback along. I think that's valuable feedback, frankly. Who will be the number two, Rams number two receiver? That's Christopher Cuevas. Yeah, Van Jefferson, for sure. I think eventually, you know, Puka Nacua has got a real shot. We're looking at, you know, years left on contracts, things like that. But this year, Van Jefferson, if he can stay healthy, 100%. I mean, he, by the way, speaking of last week of practice, Van Jefferson really brought it, brought the energy, brought the heat all through practice. And I could not be more impressed with what he's done. Okay, guys, give me a second to go back now through Instagram. We're going to try to rapid fire here some of these questions. Okay. Who is your biggest surprise? This is Jay Bennett's. Who is your biggest surprise from OTAs to training camp to now? Davis Allen, the tight end, the rookie tight end, late round pick. I knew he was a good mismatch in the pass game. I didn't realize he was as physical a player as he is. And then I don't think that he was necessarily a surprise, but more so it's a really good year for the Rams to find a receiver like Puka Nacua, because as we've seen in the past with such a top heavy roster, and then as Sean McVay has sort of focused really on that top heavy area of the roster when they've been in contention, it's been really, really hard for rookies to get on the field. So this was a great year for them to find a Puka Nacua who, you know, I took a really careful approach through OTAs with him, because as we know, like the things you see in the spring and even into training camp sometimes aren't real or reflective of what you'll see in the season. And over the years, we've had multiple over and over and over examples of that with this roster. But this year, a lot of the things, a lot of the players you see contributing heavily in those times are actually going to see the field. And same goes for Puka Nacua. And that also leads me into Brooks Simba's question: how much can we reasonably expect to see Puka in the offense? So I truly think that it's sort of a wide receiver three and wide receiver 3B, and that's Tutu Atwell and Puka Nacua. And I think some of that's going to be situational. There are just some teams where Tutu Atwell's skill set, especially you know, in terms of his vertical ability, is going to be more valuable than some of the underneath and mid-range stuff that Puka Nacua seems really gifted at. Other games, that's going to flip. So I do think that's going to be situational. And in the long term, that is, I think, a multi-year competition between the two to see like how, who really will be the three. And frankly, after Van Jefferson, you know, however his future, long-term future turns out with the team, or with that, or somewhere else, who maybe could, is then even going to be the two. I think that that's going to be a multi-year situation to watch, but both of those players are going to get significant minutes. I do think that Puka Nacua will get a lot more playing time than we're used to seeing rookie receivers get. The last rookie receiver who got such a significant amount of playing time was Cooper Kupp. So that big shoes, big cleats to fill. Obviously, I'm not necessarily putting the two on the same level, but in terms of the versatility of skill set and in terms of the opportunity to play lots of different positions and fill in lots of different roles, you've seen Puka doing that since the spring, and I would imagine he will continue to do that. Let's see. What's a probable time frame? This is the Beckett Outlook. What's a probable time frame for the Rams to bring in a vet to the IDL, trade, waivers, or free agency? So I think obviously they'll probably come in order, right? So waivers first, and that sort of also coincides with free agency. And so this next week, I think you're really going to look at all of that. Like I can't emphasize this enough. Like I would imagine, I'm not a betting person, but I would bet serious money that they're really gauging other people's rosters right now and looking at very specific positions, particularly if those could be cheap. And the interior defensive line has to be one of them. If it's not, I think they can be fairly criticized for that based on how this spring has gone. Now, it's not to knock other players. I think Kobe Turner, DeJuan Johnson, they've really put things together. Marquise Copeland's pretty consistent. Bobby Brown had a good end to camp. I think that those, you know, there's potential there. Ernest Brown seems like he can actually maybe put some pressure packages together. But it's, if there's certain stepping stones that you need to be hitting in terms of your development, and if they feel they're not hitting them fast enough or completely enough, then you absolutely are looking at that. And again, I worry, I think the most of any position outside the offensive line about what this run defense is going to look like. So I sound like a broken record at this point, but you guys have been asking the question because it's a really, really good question. Okay, let's do a couple more. This is from Nick, and I'm so sorry if I butcher this, Nick Giallinella. How are we feeling about the rookie special teams unit? I think I worry about the kicker just because kicking is so fickle of a profession, and he's been overall very, very accurate. The days he's missed, the misses have been pretty off, but overall, he's been very accurate, and particularly within like 45 yards, 48 yards, he's very accurate. So I think that's good. And Ethan Evans, I mean, I don't know, can you crown a franchise punter this early? Like, so for those of you, I hope you guys read this in The Athletic, and I'll end on this one because it's fun. I hope you guys read The Athletic. If you're just podcast listeners, I got to tell you the story from when I was the first day of Rams Broncos joint practices. So there is this guy, and he's standing, there's sort of, it's like friends and family day. So the Broncos are letting people, they don't usually let fans at practice. Now that Sean Payton's there, it's like the land of paranoid Sean's over there at Broncos facilities this week, which is, it's fair. I get it. And so, but it was like friends and family day. And so you can give tickets to like agents and, you know, position specialized coaches that you work with in the off season and those types of things. So I'm standing there, and I'm standing with Nick Kosmider, who covers the Broncos for us, who does a great job, and with Andrew Siciliano and James Palmer from NFL Network. And we look to our right, and there's this guy, and he's watching the punters on the far field, and he's got this stopwatch in his hand, and he's sort of just like talking to himself as he's timing, and he's just saying these things like, holy shit, 5-6, that's some superhero type stuff, or oh my goodness, he just hit 3-5 mid-range fives in a row, and like all this stuff, and he's timing Ethan Evans as he's punting. And so of course I go, I'm like, well, that's cool. So I'm nosy, and so I go up to him and I tap him on the shoulder and I start talking to him, and it's this kicking coach named Jimmy Rafter, who played in the league for couple different teams, and now he runs a kicking specialty training facility there, I think in Denver. And he's trained a lot of guys, including the former Bills punter Sam Martin, and he is there as a friend, you know, of I think Riley Dixon, who's now with the Broncos, who's their punter, who's also just kicking the crap out of the ball that day. And so he was timing these punts, and he had never heard of Ethan Evans because who has? I mean, he's a rookie punter out of Wingate College and from a town of like 3,000 people. But so I tell him all about, I'm like, okay, so this is who this is. And, you know, he's like 21 years old and all this stuff. And Jimmy Rafter, he just could not believe it. He's like, he's a rookie, and oh my goodness. And he times every single punt that he does. And he starts telling me this story or this bit of insight that I did not know, which you guys know, I love learning new things about this game, but especially special teams. So the 40 times, he said this, and I'm going to have to fact check it, but I'm just telling you, this is what he said, that the 40 time was originally created to gauge in accordance with how fast players ran down in a straight line down the field on special teams coverage units. So it kind of makes sense, right? And so he's timing these punts, and he's like, you know, a lot of times punters are averaging in between 4-2 hang time and 4-8. Okay, so that makes sense, right, as to why coaches, even though the 40 is sort of antiquated at this point, why those times stick out to us in history in terms of evaluation of speed. Because obviously if you can run a 4-4 40, then if you're playing special teams, you can get the hell down the field on the coverage unit while the ball is still in the air. Well, So for context, Ethan Evans is hitting in the 5.6 second range. So think about this. The Rams, it's very possible that the Rams set some sort of a record for having this number of outside linebackers, like smaller, faster outside linebackers, inside linebackers, and like large safeties on their coverage units. Michael Hoyt, Daniel Hardy, Nick Hampton, these guys are playing special teams for them on these coverage units. And they're very fast defensive ends and outside linebackers, but they're not, you know, small, fast safeties or small, fast corners like in DBs that you usually see on special teams. Even their safeties, you know, that are on special teams, Quentin Lakes, he's not like a 4.4 40 guy. But it's interesting when you match the hang time with the types of players that they're putting on their coverage units, because the method starts to sort of make sense at that point. Yes, this guy can punt the crap out of the ball, and you've got really strong, really fast, really smart players in coverage. And obviously the Rams have had some issues here and they got to put all these things together, but they're not running 4.4 40s. They're running, you know, 4.9s, 5.1s. But it doesn't matter because the ball is still in the air up until 5.6, right? Anyway, I just thought that was really cool. I'm going to leave you guys with that because I am really sick of hearing my own voice at this point. And so is my dog, Tucker. but I had a great, great trip to Denver, you guys. Keep the questions coming. I hope I got to a lot of different points. A lot of you guys are really curious about the Noteboom situation. A lot of you guys are really curious about potential trades and the waivers and cuts. Keep an eye on theathletic.com. I'll have some more stuff for you guys over the next couple of days. And again, thank you for your patience. It is not easy trying to get all the logistics figured out in doing this solo. So really, really appreciate you guys' patience with me and also your lighthearted tweets about when the hell this was actually going to publish. Appreciate those too. You guys, thank you again for following along. Thanks to people who go after a comprehensive amount of coverage, not just sort of surface level stuff. Really, really appreciate you guys. Always love the dialogue. Always trying to be in the comment section to interact with you guys and respond to you guys. Meanwhile, we're going to have another episode for you right after cuts. Hoping to get a guest on with me at that point, so that you don't just have to hear me talking. Hoping to get people to join me in terms of breaking down those things. And in the meantime, I hope you're staying caffeinated. Hope you're staying hydrated. Hope you're taking care of yourselves and each other. We'll catch you next time.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.